asked Natalie in prep for this was like, what's the craziest workout you done? And your answer was
the marathon.
The marathon.
Yeah.
Which I thought was so interesting.
Yeah.
So tell me how it was.
I actually loved the training process.
Me too.
The marathon itself, though, was like very mental, first off.
Yes.
That incline up to the art museum at the very end
so it's
of
like miles,
Kelly Drive.
It's miles like, it's like 24-ish, 25.
Yeah, 25 'kay. To like 26.2.
Okay.
Blacked out. At that point, I was like, oh my God, but I would do it again.
Woo! Oh my God. I'm so excited. Open house with Steph, but a very special guest, Natalie Mitchell, AKA Naturally Being Nat on Instagram.
What's up?
What's up? Hey, girl. I'm like afraid right now because I know we're working out tomorrow and I'm like pending the questions I ask might lead to a severe ass kicking tomorrow, but I'm here for it. So it's fine.
You won't be awake enough to understand if it's going to be too hard or not.
Probably. That's a very accurate statement. 6:30 a.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays. The only way to start your Tuesdays and Thursdays for sure.
Entertainment.
I don't know who's entertaining who. I feel like you're entertaining me most of the time. So many things, like literally so many things to talk about. We have the new year, holidays, staying fit. We were both college athletes. I don't know. I have like a crazy ass list. But I feel like a really good place to start could be, how did you get into personal training and nutrition consulting, really? Or coaching, I think I'm saying this right.
Yeah.
Tell me your story.
So I feel like there's a lot of fitness people who are very similar to this, but I started the very traditional route of went into finance because I was good at math and everyone said that that was the job that I should do because, you know, it's just stable. So I was like, sure. All right, like I'll do that. I was a finance major in college.
Where'd you go to college?
Providence College.
Oh, right.
Go Friars. everyone who went to Villanova doesn't like that answer.
Low key.
but I always wanted to like teach on the side though. And then the pandemic hit and I had to work from home and I realized that like nothing against finance for anybody. But I actually hated my job and fair. I wanted to kind of like reroute. So I took the opportunity of working from home to kind of refine my skills a little bit. And then December 31st, 2021, New Year's Eve was my last day in finance and I just went full force into full-time fitness instead of working the 9-to-5 and doing fitness on the side. I also got my nutrition while I was working from home because I didn't really have anything else to do during COVID.
Yeah, we were all just shut-ins. It was a weird time.
I was entertaining myself.
That's so cool.
Which I don't know if that was entertaining or not, but
well, clearly
education. So anyways, then I've been doing that since.
It worked out. Okay, and so you are at the Fitler Club where you train me.
Yeah.
And where else?
So I am also on my own because I do have online clients.
Right.
And that is probably about like 50-50 split right now.
That's cool.
So I have my online clients, which is both personal training and nutrition. That is definitely more of not one-on-one where like you and I see you face-to-face.
Yeah.
I used to do virtual where it was like a Zoom call. I realize it's really not my niche because I just can't get a one-on-one reaction with that.
Yeah.
My online is I get to give you a program that's customized to you, but you can go do it in your own gym. You can be from California, Norway, it doesn't matter. You can also be from Philadelphia.
Do you have Norwegian clients?
No, I had someone from Denmark a few years ago. That was pretty fun.
Okay, so wait,
the time difference is a little tough, but
yeah, I could see that. Wait, when did you start your Instagram? Naturally Being Nat.
Oh, I started that fall 2018. But when I say
so cool.
I started it, it was very, very like vague. I was just kind of like, I was following a bunch of like health related things on my on my Instagram. And like, I loved making things myself, like food wise. So I was like, all right, you know what? Like, I'm going to just create another account. I told literally nobody about it. Not even like any of my best friends. My one best friend was still so pissed because she found out from somebody random that I had this account.
Wait, the Naturally Being Nat account or a different?
I was like secretive about it. And I was just like posting all like my recipes.
Well, it's not a secret now. You have like 23,000 followers.
Eventually I made it like my actual Instagram.
Okay.
My Instagram that was like personal back then, I haven't touched like at all. Like
okay.
It kind of just like sits vacant and everybody who just follows that probably thinks I've ghosted the world. So I have this like Naturally Being Nat one, but I was just posting my food, but then again, pandemic, so many fun things.
Yep.
I definitely got really involved with it and I loved it. My account started to take off. Obviously, more people were cooking at home and not going out. So like
that's a very good
stuff
point.
Like really took off.
Huh.
But I didn't actually show my face on it until I don't know, to that like 2020.
Okay.
It was basically like just food. And then I started like posting my workouts. Like during COVID, I would post my workouts and like people would follow them. So
post pictures of me.
Yeah, you know, obviously.
Wait, so this is probably a good time of the year. We're a couple of weeks out from Christmas and New Year's, and everyone's like, goals. Let's be healthy. Okay, but what are your like tips for people to stay healthy during the holidays?
Oh, this is a good one. And I bet you I will ruffle some feathers with this one because I definitely don't have a like.
It's okay. I have like five people watching this. Speaker truth.
No.
Well, been lied to all of us.
No. So my thing is that like I just don't really think it's that serious.
I agree.
I just think there's so much pressure. Like there's like the health people are like, true, do this, this, and this. And then there's the opposite types of health people where like they're just like, oh, like, you know, like don't worry about eating this or that. Like you'll get on with your life. And I think we can meet in the middle here.
For
like,
sure.
You absolutely can go to your holiday parties. You can eat your cookies. You can do like anything, drink the alcohol. I know there's like some people are like, oh, stay away from that. Or like, you know, do whatever you want. I do think that we have to have moderation because nobody wants to feel terrible the next day.
Yeah.
My biggest tips though for people is to eat how you normally do. Because if you get to holiday parties or anything, one, super starving.
Right.
You're not going to feel good the next day because you're going to tend to overeat because you haven't eaten all day.
Yeah.
You're also just not going to feel good because you put like so much into your body.
And shit into your body probably.
And it's like you can have the alcohol. You can have all this stuff. But like, you know, have your protein and veggies outside of that. My biggest thing is like if you decide to drink, if you decide to eat more sugar or anything like that, just try to like, you know, make sure you have some protein, some color in your diet elsewhere in the day or the next day.
Drink some water.
And if you can not, you know, have a few nights of only like 4 hours or 5 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Try to minimize the nights that you don't have like little sleep. Then you'll be good.
Yeah.
Right? Like just go on as normal. The biggest one I always hear, and it's really hard, I think, sometimes to talk about like when you hear people are like, oh, like I ate so much, like I have to work it off, right? It's one of my biggest pet peeves, but I don't always know how to address it because I don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Mm. Okay, but what
you
would
don't
you,
have to.
What would you say to me if I was like, I'm going to go gorge myself, but I feel like I have to punish myself and eat? By the way, I don't do this, but if you had to give me the advice.
You personally? Or to like anybody?
I guess maybe. I was just trying to make you feel a little more comfortable answering the question, but
I would tell you, step
delete. Nat would be like, shut up. It's fine.
Yeah, no, that's how I would answer you. No, but in all seriousness, I would just try to educate people as to that they don't have to do that, right? Like if you overindulge by accident, oh, well, move on.
Yeah.
Your workouts don't have to be more. Sometimes I joke around with people that like, okay, you ate a little bit more. Great. We're going to get some more gains in the gym today because you have a lot of fuel in your body to use. Like you might have a good workout, like kind of like joke around it a little bit.
Sure.
To lighten the mood. But I think it's like I've had conversations with some clients or just people in general that like it's a really good feeling sometimes when you go into the holidays without the pressure.
Yeah.
Right. Like
totally.
When you have a good like head on your shoulders and you can just be like, okay, like if I go to the holiday, eat a little bit more, like who cares? Like business as usual, like the next day, right? Like I'm going to eat how I usually do. I'm just going to like listen if I'm like overly full. Okay. If I'm actually like didn't eat as much as I thought the next day, like maybe I'm more hungry. I'm going to work out the same. I'm not going to like take only the hard classes or do the hardest workouts and like the longest cardios because like, you know, I overindulged, right? Like business as usual.
Business as usual.
And I think like that's a really amazing place to be in your head.
Yeah.
And it's way more mental being on that like anxiety train than to just be okay if you overate a little bit. Who cares? If you enjoyed your food, you enjoyed your company. Great.
It's the time to like enjoy the holidays.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it's helpful too to like just at least for me, is kind of knowing like, all right, I'm going to go to this party. I'm going to be a little tired. Maybe I won't do that workout that day. Maybe I'll give myself a little more time to sleep. And, you know, especially for me, my work is like a little bit more busy when everyone else is quiet. So I try to do that. Okay. So what about, oh, this is so good. This is a really good one. How do you feel about those people that are like, New Year, let's go. New goals in the gym. And like you and I joke about this now. We've joked about this now for 2 years, I think, in a row. I think. Where it's like, God, why is it so goddamn crowded in here? It's like, and I'm so, I say this with a lot of empathy and love and genuine excitement. Like, if those are your goals, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I've never been one of these people that's like, this is my year to get healthy. I just like never stop. And I think for me and you, not to speak for you, but fitness is just, it's kind of this ongoing science experiment that doesn't have a start and it doesn't have an end. But for the people who are thinking about really trying this year or figuring something out this year, maybe they've had a tough year, what are like the top three things that somebody could do to get themselves into a good routine for the start of the new year? Help from either a health, like a working out standpoint or a food standpoint.
Yeah, I think the number one is to have a realistic plan.
Nailed it.
Don't go into it just like, I'm just going to try this out and do things gun blazing because it's overwhelming. And when you go into, maybe it's like a new gym or you go back into your old gym, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what you're going to be doing that day, like especially in the gym, or you don't know what you're really going to be eating or like how to eat, like, ask for help. I think that's the best thing you can do is, we've talked about this, right?
We
like
have.
why do you have a trainer? Like, you've worked out for how long, right? I have had trainers in the past and I'm probably going to get one coming up in soon anyways. Like, I love having a trainer. I am a trainer. I love having a coach. And I think the best thing you can do is to just kind of give up the ego or give up the control and just ask somebody to give you a plan. We have so much decision fatigue in life. Work these days is wild. Everybody is just honestly worked to the ground. And that's our society. And we want to like create boundaries as much as possible. But some jobs are just different in other ways. And when you can have somebody who is helping you out, creating a plan so that you go into the gym, you're like, I don't have to think if this is the right thing I should be doing, if this is the wrong thing. I just know what I'm doing. And I feel good at the end of the day because I make so many decisions in life for those 24 hours. But I don't have to make it for like that 1 hour in the gym. When it comes to our food, not knowing what to eat, right, for what feels good for you is taxing.
Yeah.
It's a roller coaster.
Totally.
And having an outlook like from somebody else is massive. And instead of a certain goal taking 5 years because you never asked for just a little help, it could have taken only like a few months, half a year for you to understand what your body feels like doing this. You know, how it feels to put yourself first, right? Like, I think that's the biggest thing. I had a client a few years ago who our first day was Our first day was New Year's Day.
Amazing. And I love that.
She actually proved to be so consistent. She had never worked out before. And she was
How long ago was this?
I guess January 1st, 2022.
And how old was this person?
She's about 30.
And like, she never worked out. I feel like it's so rare to meet people like that, at least, you know, our worlds.
Sure,
our worlds are very fitness oriented. A lot of my friends work out, but I think it can be really intimidating. So I think it's probably really refreshing for all five listeners of mine to hear that there's somebody out there that raised their hand and was like, I've never worked out. I don't know how to work out.
Yeah. And I think also like a lot of people like may have played sports. Some didn't growing up. But I mean, you could probably attest to this as an athlete. When you're just kind of like done in that sport, you don't really know what you're doing.
I had no idea.
You don't know what like to do in a gym still. Well, you don't know how to work out. Like,
I didn't know how to work out.
You just
aren't told
to be somewhere. Yeah. So like some of these people like have absolutely maybe like played a sport or like done some things active, but like what to do at a gym is not really like taught, and like we don't understand. And like it's actually one thing that I like love is to like show the basics and how like someone who maybe has never stepped into a gym before or maybe not in like 10 years, who knows, that like it's very approachable, it's very doable, and like that you can do it even if you are 25, 35, 45, 75, right? Like at any age, you can start that journey.
Well, let's unpack why I have a trainer, why you're my trainer.
Yeah.
So I'm 30. I literally just turned 37 a week and a few days ago. And I played college sports my whole life. I played college sports when I was in college. I played sports my whole life. But to your point about like, you know, if you played college sports and you just didn't really know what to do after that, like I was completely lost as a person in this world of being athletic, you know, because my identity shifted from an athlete to just a person that played sports. And I had no idea how to go to a gym and not like black out, because that's like what we were groomed to do and to win. And now like my mindset around health and fitness shift from how to be a competitor on the field and win to and push my body in that way to like, how do I just be healthy? Yeah. And what does healthy look like for me? Which is kind of being defined in a lot of different ways. I mean, you have helped me immensely. And that's why I decided to get a trainer, was because one, I was intimidated at the gym. Like I forgot how to like, you know, do the leg press and to not hurt myself. And I think a lot of people rely on things online, which are awesome. And it's a great way to have education in an accessible manner. But you've elevated my health game and just my personal game. You just make me a better person. But it's empowering. It really is empowering. And I think everybody should invest in their health. Like this is not, there's no end to this game. And we were talking about longevity for sure. Like I work out now, one, because it makes me feel good. I want to be injury free. I want to run as many marathons as my poor body will let me. But I really want to be able to like walk around Rome at 100 years old if I want to, or, you know, fill in the blank. But we were having that really nice conversation on our drive over here, our very lovely drive, because we're basically neighbors. So tell me a little bit more about what it's like to work with you, if people want to work with you as a trainer in the gym. I mean, I have my own personal experience with this.
Which I'm also curious what your answer would be to this as well.
I will share that with you. And if somebody really needed more like nutrition coaching, and by the way, Natalie, you have taught me so much. Like it blows my mind how much you've taught me about my body and health. But if somebody wanted to jump into this journey with you, what do the first steps look like? And how do you approach athletes?
Yeah. So are you asking like how I would work with somebody, like actually work, or like what kind of style I am as a trainer?
Both. You can answer it both ways. Like,
okay.
Because some people are like really intimidated and maybe they're like, how do I know Natalie's right for me? Also, side note, I will say, I was like, I was so excited when I first saw you at the Filler Club because I followed you on Instagram and I was like, she's so cool. And then one day I was like, hey, girl. And like, someone was like, what was that? I was like, it's naturally being Nat. And then I like, my times got screwed up and the Filler Club, which has this awesome, incredible gym with great resources, was like, I think you would be a good fit for Natalie. I was like super nervous for her first. I was like, I hope she thinks I'm cool.
Anyway,
I was like, what's up?
I was like, oh. My friends were like, how's Natalie? I was like, amazing.
Well, first off, a lot of my personal training is at the Filler Club.
Yeah.
So that, unfortunately, obviously you have to be a member to train at the Filler Club.
Right, right.
Right now, maybe TBD in the future, I will have more in-person opportunities.
Amazing.
A little bit, like not as much, maybe. But my online is basically where I'm taking on more clients right now.
Okay, cool.
The online, though, is just where, like I've said before, you just train with me online at your own gym, at your own time, whatever you want. It's actually pretty nice for somebody who maybe doesn't really know what to do with the other days of the week as well. So it's like, I will literally program as many days as you want. If you're training for something,
sure,
I can do running, strength, the whole nine yards. The other thing as well is like, I also have my nutrition online too.
Yeah.
So those are the best ways to train with me. I will have to say, when it comes to my training style, this is something that when I first started, everyone was like, you have to have a niche. And I was like, what the hell is my niche? Like, I did not know.
Yeah.
And I think the only way that you discover like what your niche is to try out a lot of clients.
Yeah.
And see one who sticks and maybe what the commonality between them is. I don't know if commonality is a word.
It is now. It's fine. Yes. I like this.
But also like what you vibe with too.
Sure.
And it's not like I have like I'll see a lot of like online like women's fitness coaches or weight loss coaches or marathon training coaches.
Right.
Right. Very specific things like that. I'm not. I generally think that I am a trainer who will take on anybody who really cares about bettering themselves.
I agree, and I love that.
I don't really care what your starting spot is, whether you've worked out in a gym for 20 years or you've literally never stepped foot. If you have a desire, because one of the main things I've learned is that like I can't put my want into you. And if I have a client who's so eager and like willing to learn, and as a trainer, my goal is never to just kind of like gatekeep information. Like if someone asks me, like I full force will give them the entire information that I know so that they could maybe do it in the future on their own if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But it's that like I want people to feel empowered. So when somebody asks them in the gym, you know, maybe you're in the locker room and someone's like, hey, like you and your trainer were doing this, like, why are you doing that? And like they know why they're doing something. But I love people who are just like eager. So I don't care how old you are, your experience, your gender, anything like that. Like I'm willing to work with anybody.
I think it's really it's cool because everything has gotten so hyper specific and you're just like, you're a trainer for the people.
But I might not be for everybody because I will have to say I will push you.
She's spicy. Well, yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
People's like limits.
Yeah.
And I think I'm a very good puzzle piecer.
You mean like after you run a marathon to go do some dead lifts and
squats.
Fucking
we did squats.
We did some serious squats. I looked at Natalie with like daggers in my eyes and fire coming out of parts of my body. And she was like, good. This is good. This is your sore. Great. I'm like, oh, God.
I just like I have such a belief in people.
Yeah, you do.
And if somebody else isn't going to push them, then when are they going to get better? It's so funny. I have a 78-year-old client who's amazing. And, you know, it's like one thing today. She was like, I would have never picked up that weight. And I was like, look what we're doing now, right? Like,
here we go.
But it's like when someone's like, are we still going? I'm like, absolutely. Like, and they're like, that was really hard. I'm like, but you did it, right?
Yeah.
You did it. Great.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to keep going.
Nat has a little bit of a problem counting reps, though.
No. Hold on. There's no trainer that doesn't have a problem counting reps.
I'm like,
you're asking me to
10.
Look at form?
And she's like, 4.
Okay, that's exaggerating.
All right, maybe.
But you're looking at form, you're chit-chatting, which maybe I'm just a very big chit-chatter.
We both are.
But sometimes you just say one or two more.
You just miss one.
You just say two more.
But I always know when I upset you. And I'm like, that was 10. And you're like, fine.
Sometimes I'm like only a few off. And then there's like other times I'm like, I've not been counting at all. I'm like, I have no idea where we are.
We've done 1,000. Oh my God.
But if you ask any trainer, I can't be the only one who plays.
You know what I love?
That's why the watch. Sometimes I'll do a watch.
Yes.
Because
the timer,
then I can't be like messed up then. Then I'm like, oh yeah, like 30 more seconds.
I always love when we start our sessions and you look at me with like so much pizzazz in your eyes and you're like, how are we feeling? And some days I'm like, 1,000. And some days I'm like, I feel pretty good, you know? And no matter what, it's always a good workout. And you always like know how to like read the situation.
I would say, I'm a pretty intuitive person.
Yeah, you are.
And I can read a client very well. So
yeah.
I think that's why like I'm able to push clients to like their personal limit, given the day, the time, whatever it is, because I can tell when someone's running a little low on energy, right?
Yeah.
Like, and to push just to like that threshold so that someone leaves feeling still really good.
Yeah.
And not like they got to go pass out for the rest
of the
day.
Well, you know, there've been a couple of situations like we have talked an extensive amount about, and Natalie has held the mirror right up to me. Because I think I'm invincible. And, you know, she starts like wiggling in these conversations about like, how much have you been eating? And I don't struggle with this. I'm just a busy person.
Yeah.
And I would identify myself as a healthy person. But you really helped me understand what does healthy look like for me. And sleep. Mm-hmm. Stress. We talked a lot about stress.
Yeah.
Natalie is one of the reasons why I now like to call myself a reader.
Oh, we love that. I have a book
read
for you, by the way.
Great. I can't wait. And you know, I there are times when I'm like, I give myself a little bit more permission to just sleep in, and I'll text you and say like, I can't make it. And you ask me, do you think you need the workout to relieve stress?
Yeah.
Or do you really just need to rest?
Yeah.
And it's just like, no judgment. It's full permission. And it, because I am one of those people that will push myself to the limit where I'm burnt out physically and mentally. And you help keep that in check for sure without making me feel bad about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like hustle, hustle culture, grind, grind, grind. You have taught me one of the most important lessons, I think, in like my journey of health and longevity is not every workout has to kill you.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people assume, who know me, assume that the workouts we do means that like we're both blacking out or we're both doing something crazy.
Yeah.
And it's not like that. It's about building strength. And then that had morphed into a conversation about nutrition. So now I really work on getting my protein, which is a lot of food, but I work on it. But I think that's a good segue into like, for maybe we can like shift this towards a little bit of a conversation around women, because we've talked about how important lifting for women is and your protein intake, your calcium intake, and how diet culture has screwed us up.
Yeah.
So for someone like me, as a 37-year-old girl who has been active, but like, what are the things that like you're telling me that we need to do, and what are we working on? Because there are probably people like me in my age range or around there. What are the things that are the most important to keep me injury free, away from some of these ailments, osteoporosis, osteopenia, other health issues that are going to help me live a long, beautiful life?
Well, there's a lot of answers here.
Yeah,
but
there are.
We're going to like make it a little bit like more like surface level, because obviously we can get one-on-one. But the most surface level things is that when it comes to physical fitness, we'll do like fitness and then nutrition. First off, fitness-wise, strength training. And I know that, like, it's intimidating. It's hard.
I also don't want to get big. I want to get bulky, Natalie. And we have this conversation all the time.
Steph's
I know.
Favorite thing to say is that she's going to get bulky from strength
I call myself
training.
The Hulk.
And what do I say?
You're not going to get big.
You're not going to get bulky. But
and I haven't.
Strength training is the biggest one. I think cardio is underrated. I think it all has to do with the diet culture, right? Like, people follow Eras. They were for a really long time. People were saying that, like, oh, cardio is like the number one thing. And all of a sudden we've changed to strength training. But people have all of a sudden been like, oh, hit and cardio is terrible for you. It's going to mess up your hormones, all this stuff. And it's not going to if you do it appropriately.
Right.
But strength training is going to be your number one when it comes to your bone density and just keeping your body in really good shape for longevity. I know we talk about this one a lot.
Yeah.
But your muscle mass, how much you can put on every year is going to decrease a little bit.
Sure.
So the more you can put on earlier in your life, the better. But you can continue to always put on muscle mass or can have that goal. And strength training is going to be your number one throughout life. It helps you also keep injury free. If you like to run, if you like to bike, if you like to do anything outside like walking around, hiking, your strength training helps you so much that your knees, your ankles, all that type of stuff stays super healthy. That is like the physical part of it. When it comes to nutrition, I think protein is not the only thing.
Okay.
But I think it is a massive thing. I think that if you could try to get protein with every meal, and one of the biggest things too is that I, being a busy person, absolutely use like supplemental protein, like protein powders or bars, but I don't think they are what you need to like absolutely lean on. If I maybe was at home all the time, and you know what? I'm not perfect. I could probably make more things that are more homemade, but at the end of the day, I need something to like help me out. I'm on my feet all day. Whole foods are your best friend. So you get like protein in whole form, like your meat, your fish, your eggs, your dairy, tofu, whether you're vegan, vegetarian, or an animal eater, it doesn't matter. Trying to get whole food based proteins as well as your fruit and veggies. I know sometimes it's like, oh, I had to add a fruit or veggie, but sometimes it's really easy. But all of our vitamins, minerals can make a massive impact on your body. So just trying to sneak those things in here and there helps so much. And don't be afraid of fats. For women especially, I think this is the biggest one.
Hello, almond butter. We're very good friends.
Is that we avoid fats. And there's just so much good things about fats, because they keep our hormones healthy. And, you know, you see a lot of women who may start to have issues with their periods, whether it's losing them or having irregular cycles or just ones that are super uncomfortable. And that's like a big one for very active people. So mm-hmm. if you're not taking in the good nutrients of your proteins, your veggies, all that stuff, and fats, you're probably not going to give your body a helping hand. And I think that one's very underrated because we went through a diet culture for a really long time.
Forever.
That was like fat-free everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like one that you can definitely try to improve your healthy levels by adding in a little bit more.
Well, you helped me kind of refine some of this. So I would tell Natalie twice a week because we train, like what I'm eating. And then I realized me and a gluten-free bagel, we were seeing each other every day. And she was like, maybe just try 2 a week. Let's just see. Or like, you know, I'd be crushing some RX bars. And I really made this conscious shift of like trying to eat more whole foods.
Yeah.
And really trying to, I joke about this. It's like, this is not going to be an episode of like, let's not eat any chemicals. But I do think being a little bit more mindful for me specifically of like, there's certain oatmeals that I like. There's certain, I don't know, like products that really just like work for me and doing the not quite like an elimination diet, but kind of figuring out like, oh, this gave me more fuel for a long run. This felt better.
Yeah.
Being a little bit more conscious as to not be in the fridge grabbing a bar. Like I love some of those bars because it's so easy to get like just a really nice helping of protein. But maybe I should just have a sandwich.
Yeah. I think also the most underrated thing that you just said is figuring out what works for you.
Yeah.
Because we're not the same. So if you see the person that maybe is like a health idol to you on Instagram eating something and you go to eat it and it just does not sit with you.
Don't eat that shit.
Don't eat it. Like,
just don't do it.
This is like super random, but like I've noticed just like in my own eating that raw red onion and red grapes, like they don't sit well with me. I don't know why.
No.
Not many things make me bloat. Those two things specifically.
Oh no.
Will just make me bloat. But like, you just have to understand though, like if someone is saying like you should eat this because it's healthy and like it's going to make you do X, Y, and Z, but you feel awful, don't eat it.
Don't do it.
Like, it's just like there's certain protein bars. I've tried them before and there's an ingredient in there. I don't feel good with them. Why would I eat them?
Yeah.
Because X, Y, and Z influencer lives off of them and loves them and like helps them get their protein in for the day. But it doesn't sit well with you. Do you feel good? Like,
you know, you got to do what you
try to
do.
Figure out like what is actually going to make you feel energized throughout the day versus taking off a number of like how much protein or carbohydrate or fat, like instead of like so focused on these like tick off boxes, like what makes you feel good? Like notice like the meals that like you're actually energized. I think one time you like mentioned like you had something for breakfast and it had to do with like the sweet potato. You're like, I actually felt really good.
I love a sweet potato in the morning. Oh my God. That's been, like, I literally swapped the gluten-free bagel and I look at the ingredients of them and it's all this like filler and stuff, which is also now starting me on my new journey this year. I really want to cook. I made some mediocre chicken the other night, but we're working on it.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can't all be naturally being Nat.
She started somewhere.
She started somewhere.
By calling my mom and asking for help. Mom, how do you cook this?
Oh my God, I actually was going to text you and be like, hi, I'm cooking chicken. How long does this go in the oven for?
I've gotten those texts so many times from people. Wait, I would get like a random like teammate of college or something. I'm like, hello, what'd you do for this? And I'm like, oh, da-da-da.
That's actually very good to know. I will panic call you. Hopefully it doesn't become a dire situation, but it might.
Right.
So moving along to a different topic, which... something that we're both really passionate about that I have a lot of experience in, but you ran your first marathon.
Oh, yeah.
It was so cool to be like kind of in it with you a little bit. I mean, Natalie ran
the pro marathon.
Yes. Well,
here.
I've had many, many times of practice, but what did you finish in?
I finished in 3 hours and 31 minutes.
That is, what is that, a mile? Seven something?
So. If you ask Strava.
Yeah, let's ask Strava.
Who said I ran 26.6 miles.
Yes.
It was less than 8 minutes. But I think my marathon, I think it was like an 8:03 pace or something.
That
like
is
that.
Incredibly fast.
I don't know.
Also, this is bringing me back to good times when, so in the Broad Street Run, for those of you who are not listening locally, and maybe you're from out of state, the Broad Street Run is a famous 10-mile run on Philadelphia's, one of the biggest arteries in Philadelphia that takes you north and south. And it's really cool. It's really fun. Like 40,000 people show up. It's the best.
It's the best run.
And Natalie starts telling me, like, we start chatting about it. The sign up is in February, but we start talking about it. And she's like, you want to run together? And I was like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. I really hope she's serious. Like, she's so much cooler than me. She's probably not serious. She's probably just being nice. And then, like, the week of, you're like, well, what's the plan? I was like, oh my God, we're doing this. And then, like, and then we ran, and I ran that pace. I ran like it was like 8 minute miles, I think.
Yeah.
And Natalie,
especially at the end, we were really fast.
Natalie was barely sweating and barely breathing. Like, she was like, oh, how are you? Like, what are you going to do later today? I was like, I don't know. I was like, I'm just trying to impress you.
Remember I said that I know my clients can push a little bit harder.
You like taunt. Actually, it was very funny because there was someone out there at mile like 7 and the person gave such a good cheer and you're like, they're dead. They're a sports dad. Or like, they're a coach. They knew. And we were just like having a great old time. But I seriously thought I was going to black out at mile 9 because Natalie was like, you can run faster. And I was like, oh my God. But anyway, we ran really fast. It was awesome. And it was so much. I mean, it was so much fun. We had a great, and then it was fun to see Jake afterwards.
Yeah. Maybe this year for Broad Street, it won't rain.
Maybe it won't. I don't know. We'll see.
Whatever.
I think I want to get a party bus. I want to do the
party bus.
The party bus.
You should.
That was really fun. That was clutch. Getting to Broad Street's a shit show.
If you
could
pick us up at the end, that'd also be great.
We'll see what I can do. We'll see what we can do.
The subway's a little cold.
The subway's gross. That is one of the most repulsive experiences. You're in there with a bunch of sweaty,
but like
B.O.E., gross, crusty.
It's part of the experience.
I know. Post Broad Street run. You're like, I think, you know what, you're right. Actually, it is part of the experience. Yeah. And the other part is like, wherever you live in the city is like, you kind of like, you feel like cattle. Like, you literally feel like a cow. You're like, you get shuffled in to the subway and you're wearing your stupid medal. I mean, it's a great medal. I don't know why I knocked it.
And
but,
the cape.
And you're shivering. You're always shivering. And then you're like, you get in the car and then you're sweating and everyone smells. And then
it's the most fun race.
And then you walk. And then you're like, I have to walk home. I live 10 blocks from the subway.
2 years ago, I ran home because I couldn't take the cold.
Well, yeah. Sometimes you just got to do that. But the Philadelphia Marathon. So we were training and you were telling me it was your first. And it was just it was really cool because you're an incredibly fit person, but you'd never run a marathon. And when I asked Natalie in prep for this, was like, what's the craziest workout you've done? And your answer was
the marathon. Yeah.
Which I thought was so interesting.
Yeah.
So tell me how it was.
I think like we were talking about like the craziest one. Obviously, being an athlete in college, we had some workouts that like brought us to blacking out probably.
Yeah,
but that's
sure.
like a whole nother like
that's a
era.
Whole part of my life that needs its whole episode.
Yeah, that's a
you'll come back, we'll talk about that.
Wild. But I think this is most mental. So
ooh, I love a good mental
I game. Definitely went in a little late to the game with a goal pace.
Okay.
And maybe
what's late in the game mean for you?
I think I decided that I wanted to go for like a 3:30 6 weeks prior.
Okay, I decided
maybe 6 or 8 weeks prior.
Well, that's not bad.
So I originally like had no idea how this was gonna go. I never run past 13 miles. Okay. I've done two halves in my life.
Okay.
One of them was earlier that year.
Nice.
And I was like, all right, like let's just see what long distance is gonna be like.
Wait, long distance being
a marathon.
Okay. So a half marathon isn't long distance to you. Longer distance.
Okay. Longer distance. Okay. So I actually loved the training process.
It taught
me like so much. And I felt like they say it's a job, but it's like such a rewarding job. And I think it's funny because like we kind of joke that like the process is so long and like meticulous. And then you're like, oh my God, I still have to run 26 miles after like I've trained for so many weeks. And it was like so much fun. There's like, you know, some runs were like, that was like awful. Oh, you know what? I had one failed run. That was probably the worst, but I didn't complete it. So, but
well,
the marathon itself, though, was like very mental. First off, I got to the start line and my headphones were dead.
What a nightmare.
The rookiest moves of all. Like, I wasn't planning on doing any headphones until like maybe halfway through anyways. Okay.
So you ran it without music?
Without music. Because just having to listen to Jake.
This is... Jake is her boyfriend. Who's great. Wait a minute. He was with you the whole time?
The whole time.
And I didn't know that, actually. That's really funny.
Yeah.
But people ask a lot, like, what do you think about? Do you listen to music? I'm a girl that, like, as soon as I hit the pain cave and I don't think I'm going to leave it, I pop one in.
Well, that was my point. That was, why I was bringing headphones was... And, like, I wasn't going to put them in, especially, like, you had told me about Walnut Street and how it's, like, the Walnut Speedway. And I was like, I got to listen to this. But I was, like, fully not going to listen to music until probably, like, mile 13, like I said.
Yes.
It's, like,
that's a good time.
Maybe, like, later on,
sure.
Honestly.
Mile 19.
Mile 18 is when I was, like, but then, like, you get into Manayunk and you're, like, okay, like, slight revival. Friend Joe gave me a Pop-Tart. That was amazing. And then that like saved me a little bit.
What flavor Pop-Tart?
Strawberry.
Oh,
frosted,
yes.
Frosted.
That would have also saved my day.
It wasn't a gel. I was like, I can't take one more gel. and I just like clutched this freaking Pop-Tart. So
so funny.
Getting to Manayunk. I'm still kind of dead. And then this is where the hardest part of this entire thing, and everybody who runs Philly may or may not say this, but that incline up to the art museum at the very end
so it's
of
like miles,
Kelly Drive.
It's miles like, it's like 24-ish, 25?
Yeah, 25 okay. to like 26.2.
Okay.
Blacked out. Absolutely nothing. There's a video of like Jake absolutely just like, hey, and I am like... trudging along up this hill. My brother jokes that it looked like every step was a rep. Like, one, two, three.
You were just full.
Was like, at that
militant
point,
marching.
I was like, oh my God, but I would do it again. it's like, it was so hard, but like,
type
I think
two
like,
fun. It's type two fun.
Yeah, you know what? This is like the psycho probably is that like, you're like, okay, so next time I'm gonna do X, Y. Like, you know, like, you're just like, I don't know. You like want to do it again. Like you just want to like after you've processed the blackout of the final 2 miles. It was fun, right? But I literally think that was the biggest mental battle. Cause like for like 6.2 miles, like, or I guess like maybe five, whatever, like when you're leaving Manayunk is when like I was like, oh my God. So like what is whatever that math is, I used to be a math person.
It's okay.
That amount of minutes, I was just like,
it's like an hour.
Telling myself not to stop.
Yeah, just don't stop. I stopped.
And
I stopped a lot.
That was like the hardest thing I ever did was just like, don't stop. And surprisingly, my paces didn't go down like terribly. Even though it was like a lot harder. But that was like probably the most mentally taxing workout I've done.
That's going to be a clip. That's so good. And I will also say, I really think... like, as I was running the marathon this past year, I was like, wow, this is like the ultimate human experience. Also, the greatest science experiment of all time, because you could train your ass off for months and months and months and eat well and be well and do whatever. And you just don't know how you're going to show up at mile 20. You're like, I wonder who I'll be at mile 20.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
I was
like,
a shell. I was a shell for sure.
You have like no idea, which is
you
like.
You just don't know.
Kind of fun.
It is so fun.
I don't know. But also this year watching the marathon, I had so much fun.
I saw you so many times. I saw you three times.
We were meticulous. We had all our trackers on. We knew where everybody was.
So
and
good.
I was screaming so loud to make sure the people knew.
The best was seeing you at the end.
You did a little star jump.
Yeah. I just
still had a little power in you.
I did. I was just so thrilled to see you and to also be done.
Yeah.
I was also like in a weird spot. I saw my friend. It was like I had like less than a mile to go. And I was like, I don't know where I am. How much further? I was like, I run this every day.
We all run Kelly Drive every day.
Kelly Drive autocorrects to Jelly Drive. All the time. I don't know why.
The run's so good until I remember I had to go up the art museum.
It's so good until it's not.
And then I'm like, oh, God. But then on the way home, it's just like kind of like a cruise, which is...
It's nice.
It's nice.
I played this one song and it was like, I'm coming home.
I know what song that is. I think that's on... I have a playlist that's like private. And it's just like kind of like those songs that I will listen to while I run. They're kind of like the sad girl songs.
Well, I'm going to need to know about this now. Also, like, shit, is my stuff private? Because I got some funny shit on my Spotify.
I don't know. You should share it.
We should find out. Oh, boy. Anyway.
You can tell a lot.
Yeah, you can tell a lot about a person through their music, which is kind of fun. So the marathon was great for all of us. You're in the lottery for Chicago.
Yeah, we'll see if I get in.
When do you find out?
I honestly think in like 3 days.
Huh.
So we'll see. If I don't get in, I have no idea what marathon. I'll probably do Philly.
Philly's just so easy. I signed up.
I said I'd sign up if I found out Chicago and anything.
I was wobbling to somewhere. And then I got the email. It was like registration. I was like, I don't know. Guess I'm doing this again.
If I don't, maybe I'll do High Rocks. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is really good. Let's talk about High Rocks.
Ooh. What do you want to know?
Okay. So I don't really know anything about it. I was a big CrossFit girl. I loved CrossFit post-college. It was a great way to be competitive. You were the first person that told me about High Rocks, and it's a hybrid way of working out, which, I don't know, you explain, tell me what High Rocks is, and then what your experience has been so far.
So High Rocks is new to me. I definitely just got into it this year. However, all the movements are similar. If you've done CrossFit, I would say you've probably done some of these, but essentially it's a mix of functional fitness moves with running. Running's a big component of it. So that's why sometimes people who run, like, I'm like, oh, like, this is kind of like a fun other thing to do.
Yeah.
Essentially what it is, it's 8 exercises and 8 1-kilometer runs. So you'll do a run and then an exercise. You do that 8 times.
What's a kilometer mile?
A kilometer is about 0.62.
Yeah, that's
at the end of the day, you run just under 5 miles.
Okay.
But some of the movements are a little bit cardio based. Some of them are like pure strength based. But it's a race, just like a running race where you go as fast as you can. And whoever's the fastest person, you also can do it singles or doubles, as well as relay. That's like 4 people. So you can do it like a solo sport, or you can pair with someone. Either it could be women's, mixed, or men's. So it's like fun. I personally liked it because being an athlete, it brings it back out.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was the first time I feel like I've felt like an athlete again.
Yeah.
Since college. And honestly, I wasn't expecting this. The High Rocks like atmosphere is so welcoming. It is so competitive yet so supportive. Like,
oh, that's so cool.
When we like finished, like, we're finishing like neck to neck with some people and everyone's like, oh, like, good job, like chit-chatting with you. Like, did we all just compete against each other? Like, it's amazing. It's like everyone just is like each other's biggest fans. And
so nice.
It, again, makes you just feel like an athlete again, which I have loved. I've done 2 this year. So
that is so cool. We should High Rocks train.
High Rocks together.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, yeah, I would love to do High Rocks together with you. I was joking. I was like, secretly, I think, I don't know. I was, Abby and I were talking about this, a mutual friend. I feel like Tom would like it.
Yeah.
I feel like we would crush it.
Yeah.
But wait, is it like an age range thing too?
So yeah, but you can do it with anybody. They just take the 2 ages and then averages. So say, honestly, I've seen like a parent and a kid do it before and they just average it. So say it's like a 20 something year old and like a 60 something year old, they might like land in like the 40, I don't know, or like 39. They just do it average. So the individuals though, it's like a little bit like closer. So it's like, you know, 30 to 35 or something like that. And then for doubles, it's like 30 to 39. So like the age ranges are a little bit bigger when you do like doubles versus like singles.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what's your next competition?
It's going to be High Rocks.
And that's when?
That is March 29th, maybe.
Okay.
In DC.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should think about it.
You should. It'd be fun.
It would be fun.
It's also like nice because If you like running, but you just want like a little spice up, it's fun. It also complements because it is an endurance sport.
Right.
So it complements races like marathons. Are you doing another marathon?
I'm
looking
like,
for a spring one. But
I am like
one.
Thinking about a spring marathon, mainly because I love the training so much.
Yeah.
I do wonder, though, if like talking about like what our bodies like the most, like we've talked about this, that I find this very interesting, that I probably operate in a really high cortisol level. Mm. And I wonder if my body would like for me to not do that to myself.
A spring marathon?
Well, like, because I feel like, you know, it takes a lot. It takes a toll. I mean, my body could handle it.
Yeah.
But I think, like, maybe my body would appreciate a little bit of a lower, a little bit more of a subdued effort, maybe, where I'm not pumping myself of cortisol all the time. But I'm kind of hype in general and slightly intense. If you know me, this would make total sense. But I just feel really the best version of myself. I feel like the best version of myself when I've worked out really hard in the morning, and I'm trying to learn that like it doesn't have to be that crazy. And you know, college athletics Steph versus adult Steph are two different bodies.
Yeah.
sort of. I would say I'm actually probably in better shape now than I was in college.
I would say I'm absolutely in better shape than I was in college.
So like how though? Yeah. Because for me,
so I would say because I understand my body a lot better.
Well, I think I'm just working out appropriate to my body. When I left college, I was 160 pounds and I'm 5'6". I was thick. I mean, I wouldn't have called myself like in this, like everybody is beautiful.
Yeah.
Every body is beautiful.
But you felt not correct.
But I didn't feel healthy.
Yeah.
Like I didn't feel well.
Yeah.
And as soon as I stopped working out the way that I was, I dropped a ton of weight and I just felt better. And I like then started working out for I think what my body was more in tune to. And I probably wasn't hitting that all you can eat buffet ice cream situation at Penn State. Let me tell you, those toppings, they were plentiful. Okay, so anyway, but sometimes I'm like, so we have our ebbs and flows of what our body likes and doesn't like and all that stuff. And I do really think, like, we've talked about this, like, there's a thing called hibernation. Like, we shouldn't be pushing ourselves all year round.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just do a really fast half. But I do like the idea of a spring marathon.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoy the training. I think it keeps me really disciplined.
Yeah.
It's something I'm so good at. It gives me a lot of confidence just, you know, when life gets hard, and life can be hard.
Yeah.
It gives me perspective that I can do really hard things.
Yeah.
Like run a fucking marathon.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
I don't either.
Yeah.
To be continued.
But also I think like if you really enjoy something,
I love
then
it.
Like do it. Like I think like one of the worst things you can do is one, never try something. But two, keep doing something that you actually don't like doing instead of maybe like navigating into something that like you might enjoy more or like maybe take it another approach. But like if you love running and it makes you feel good, like
just do.
Why not?
My first run that I did when I realized I think I liked running was hilarious. I like said to myself after I graduated or after I was like really done playing college sports, which was really hard for me, really sad.
Yeah, same.
I was like, I'm going to go for a 10-mile run. I ran a mile. I don't know. I had to do like a time. I was had no business. And it was really funny to think about what I wore too because it was like long shorts. Everybody's like, I can see everyone's ass now when they're working out. And all these things are like so cute and stylish.
Yeah.
But that was not my outfit. And I printed out MapQuest at Penn State. And I was like, this is how I'm going to run 10 miles. That's how old I am. Or maybe I just should have done it differently. But there we go. Yikes. And it was just, it was really fun. It was cool. It was like, wow, I ran 10 miles. And I remember my first Broad Street thinking that I was like a goddamn Olympian. I was like, I ran 10 miles. I am amazing.
I will just say, like, after you've run like 26.2 miles, it is kind of like fun though to look back. And like, I remember when I trained for like my first half and I was like, okay, like an 8-mile run this weekend. Like, okay, I'm going to prepare X, Y, and Z. Like, I was excited.
Yeah.
And it's not as exciting anymore.
It's not. You're like,
but it is fun to look back like, oh my God, remember when I thought that was really far?
I know.
But because like now it just seems like normal or like something that you would do. So it's just, it's kind of flying fun. Like, I remember when, like, I actually couldn't run that far.
It's so crazy. Like, I think the same thing. Like, I remember my first 20 mile run to train. I'm like, this is so far.
Yeah.
Now it's like, meh, sure, I'll have a glass of wine the night before. Who cares? I mean, I do not advise, but
actual nutrition advice.
No, it's not good. One time I was running with my friend, she was running 20, and I met her on a run. She's like, man, I really don't feel well. I think I could like toss my cookies. She's like, I don't even know what it is. And she says, I didn't eat anything weird. She's like, I only drank like 3 glasses of wine and had like a whole pizza with like hot tamales on it. But like, I was like, what? Oh my God. My friends are hilarious. But I'm like, hey, listen, if that works for you,
works
great,
for you.
Do it. Like one time, one of my friends in the middle of the Philly marathon full on had like a pork roll. And I was shook. I was like, I would have barfed.
You ever see people who like take like a fireball shot in the middle of the marathon? I'm like,
I drank the beer in Manayunk 1 year.
Did you?
Yeah. I do not advise that. No, my first year before I learned I had celiacs, which by the way, also like, that was terrible for me.
Probably why you were inflamed in college.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Mm. So, okay, we've talked about the marathon. We talked about, like, nutrition-y things. What are you excited about for 2025?
Ooh. That's such a good question.
You can answer this in so many ways, too.
Okay, well, so I think, like, with everybody, you've gone through, like, you know, different phases of your life.
Yeah.
And we've kind of just, like, touched on this, like, learning your body and learning stuff. And I think I had to go through a lot of, like, learning about, like, kind of, like, what I also want to do, like, challenging wise.
Yeah.
And similar to you, where it's like you were a college athlete and you really push. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, like, I need like 5 seconds to like not push.
Yeah.
And I think I finally feel like I'm ready to be an athlete again.
That's cool.
I think I'm like ready to like actually maybe like push a little bit further and see where I can get. I feel so confident in my body for the first time in. Not for the first time, but it's been very much like a gradual where like I've just increased like after I've like learned like what really feels good in my body over like the past like few years since the pandemic started. I've never like every single month I just feel like I keep saying to myself, I've never felt more confident in my body.
Awesome.
And the way that I fuel it, the way that I treat it, the way that I can, you know, work out and not be the hardest thing in the world or work out and being the hardest thing in the world. And I think honestly with the Hyroxes, I've proved that, like, I can do those like, athletic and, like, hard things again and, like, be pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm actually really excited to see, like, what I can do. And I think also for, like, maybe the first time, like, I don't care what, like, other people are doing. Like, I'm going to train my own way.
Yeah.
People have success in so many different ways. But understanding what works in your own body and how you can operate so well and so efficiently, I think it's, like, my one thing I'm very excited about because I just feel like such like a good new wave of confidence, honestly. And
your confidence is contagious, by the way.
But, you know, when I was like trying to get into the fitness world, it's intimidating. I definitely felt like I was like not less than, but that I had to prove myself.
Sure.
And I spent a lot of time trying to prove myself. And I think this past year has shown me that I don't have to and that, you know, I'm like very just confident in what I do, but how I treat myself and the things that I do in work and in life. And I'm honestly just so excited to just do so many things this year. Like, I just feel energetic.
Do more of what you're good at.
Yeah, but just like being able to like, I have so many fun things too, like we have weddings and like all that type of stuff too. But I just feel like I'm actually really excited to do all of it. Like, I'm excited to be busy. I'm excited to do all the things for myself, but also figure out how I'm doing life things too at the same time. Like,
and you run a business.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that people don't realize.
Yeah.
You run a business. Like, when you're training me, like, your phone's blown up right now with someone that's like, what do I do about this in my plan?
Yeah.
How many clients are you working with right now? How many nutrition clients? How many personal training clients?
Online, in person, mix of all of them.
Yeah.
In person, I think I have about 15.
That's a lot.
Nutrition rise right now, I have, well, I just not lost. I have for my nutrition, they're 12-week programs. You always can go longer if you want. I have 2 people who just kind of like graduated, I like to say.
Oh, nice.
Last week, and I have someone who graduated 2 weeks ago. So I have right now about 5 in there. Those have like weekly calls. So I try to limit how many I have, like kind of my time, try to have a little bit of boundaries.
Yeah, of course.
And then online client wise, I have about, honestly, I don't remember the exact number. It's between 15 and 20.
Well, you're busy.
But again, those are all like one-on-one. One of my things that I am launching in 2025 that I'm excited for is something a little bit more generic, but yet specific. So someone who maybe isn't sure about if they want to do like one-on-one, they can do this like training program. It's not one-on-one, but they can follow something in the gym at least. And it lets me reach more people because boundaries, we've talked about boundaries.
We have talked
boundaries
a lot about boundaries.
Really, really hard. So for me, it's like saying no to certain things that are going to make me be consumed with work, but also knowing that like, I kind of like you are client based. I'm always kind of like working, whether I like want to or not. So that's why like I'm trying not to have as many maybe clients one-on-one sometimes because get quite like boundaryless.
Well, I know personally for me as being an entrepreneur, I can really only take on 30 clients and give excellent service.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And when I honestly, when I see people who have like a lot of clients, I'm always just like, how?
Yeah.
Not in like a judgmental, but I'm like, how do you do it? I personally, like I'm such a one-on-one person. I can't imagine not being one-on-one. I love like the experience of like a one-on-one facing client or just like programming and being able to message people. But you only have so much space to give. And I don't want quality to go down if I take on so much. And I also don't want the quality of my own life to go down because I'm giving to so many other people too.
Right.
It's like that tricky balance when you have that because no one's saying you're at work 9 to 5 or 8 to 5. And if you could wrap things up, you go home. You don't talk to anybody. You don't have emails. And the next day you roll in and deal with it, right? But that doesn't really like work with a one-on-one like client situation like we have, right? Like we clock out-ish.
Yeah.
But we don't.
Well, and I think it's a good point of, you know, there's only, also like not everything's an emergency.
Oh, I have a really hard time saying that not everything is an emergency.
We've talked
about this.
I know. And look, for me, there's a reason why we work out so early is because it's really just like, it's me time.
Right. How many people are up? Occasionally.
I secretly love that. I'm like, what'd you do to start your day? I've already had a whole day. Right, do you feel behind? I hope so. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's like every time it's like, welcome to the gym. I've been here for 4 hours.
I'm like, you're here so early. I'm like, it's 9 o'clock. Okay, so what advice do you have for people who are just trying to stay healthy? Mm. Maybe they're in like someone like me.
I think the hardest thing, and this is probably not going to answer your question, is that it's very individual.
Love the non-answer answer. No,
it's
you're
hard
right though.
Because like to each person, they have struggles. And I can't give a one solid answer because to one person, making food at home is not an issue.
Yeah.
But it's maybe getting to the gym or decreasing stress or creating boundaries and sleeping and all that. But to the other person, they can't figure out how to get fruits and veggies and proteins in with their lifestyle, but they can go to the gym. So how to be healthy is not like just like a one-stop shop, because if you want to confuse the heck out of anybody, I will go on about the 10 different things to make you healthy. But at the end of the day, it's really finding the things that make you feel good. So maybe it's food journaling, or maybe it's just taking notes on like, you know, movement and sleep and water intake or anything like that. And just noticing what makes you feel good. And then trying to do that on a consistent basis. I think one of the most hard things is you'll see online, get 10K steps in a day, strength train 3 times a day, get cardio in twice a day, get your fruits, veggies, your protein every meal, 30 grams of protein at your meal. You have to have your body weight in fluids every single day, but don't forget because you have to have sodium and electrolytes.
But don't drink LMNT because it's bad for you, but also drink LMNT because it's really good. And that girl who looks really pretty is also drinking it.
Exactly.
Oh my God. And then you're like, fuck, I'll have the cookie. God, leave me alone.
It's confusing, right?
It's so, super confusing, and that's why I sought out help.
Yeah, and I think the best thing, like I said earlier in this podcast, is just like ask for help.
Ask for help,
because
man.
Someone can help you figure out how to make fitness, nutrition, health sustainable, attainable, approachable to your own lifestyle. Because not everybody is kidless like us, right? Some people are working moms with three kids and the dog, and their job isn't letting them do X, Y, and Z. And how can we figure out how to help them?
Yeah.
And how can we figure out, like, you know, when it comes to grocery shopping, how to meal prep, when to meal prep, or if you even need to, right?
How
like
to make
everyone
it,
says, just do this. And it's like, well, do you even need to?
Yeah. And how to make it cost effective. And some people like, yes, we have, I'm very fortunate, you know, in many, many ways where I have the flexibility to do a lot of things like train for a marathon and eat certain foods and stuff like that. But it doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to take up too much time is what I've learned.
And I think like we forget, like when it comes to like nutrition or anything, shortcuts are our best friend.
Yes, they
are. There are a lot of healthy shortcuts, and we don't have to, you know, make it this long, extensive thing.
Yeah.
Jake always makes fresh rice. I use the microwaved rice, the frozen
me
rice.
Me too.
I'm like, it takes me 5 seconds. If he's home, I'm like, you can make it for us. But it's like, there's some things that I'm
okay,
like,
okay, Jake, make me dinner too. I'm coming over.
There's so many like cost effective things that we can do.
Yeah.
And
like one of my best things is oatmeal. I've had a big thing. Than like, you know, non-glyphosate one, because apparently that agrees with my tum-tum better. And I put an apple in that shit. And an apple is not expensive.
Yeah.
And it's really good with a little, you know, dollop of like something for the fats.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't need to buy like the fancy. I don't take any protein powders or supplements or anything like that. Like I'm lucky in that regard. But those things are really expensive.
Yeah. And I think also kind of speaking on the supplements is that it's overwhelming. The supplement market is like absolutely insane. There's a time and a place for supplements. Like there's certain ones. Obviously, if you get blood work done, it's like my favorite thing is like when people actually get blood work done, because it's like, oh, you can see like maybe if you're low or high or like anything like that.
Yeah.
But your fruits, your veggies can give you so much. Your steak or your chicken or your fish or like eggs, like they give you a lot of those stuff. And like we don't always have to take a ton of supplements.
And it's just back to the basics. Like there's
back to the basics.
There's a lot of
thing.
Like we're at an hour. So my parting statement is back to the basics. And before we start going down a rabbit hole of like hydrogenized water and no chemical this, like maybe just eat a vegetable, just wash it first. You know, like
yeah.
I think we have, because of social media and because of the ability to find information and it's not necessarily vetted or credible, mm-hmm. we have made nutrition as a whole feel like this mountain to climb.
Yeah.
Fruits and veggies, sleep, hydrate, get your protein, lift some weights.
Yeah. Or honestly, and go outside.
And go outside.
If you're in Philadelphia, we have such a walkable city. It's really amazing. I know it's cold now, but bundle up. You'll feel so good. And get like just like a few steps in a day.
Yep. Yep.
It feels good. You get up from your desk. And like you just said, those are like the biggest things.
You'll be right as rain. Natalie, my girl, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day. You've been up since like 4:30.
Yeah.
Training clients to spend some time with me and hopefully all of you. Thank you for being here. I'm definitely having you back. You're going to come back sometime. Maybe we're marathon training or whatever.
Ooh.
Thanks. You're the best.
Thanks for having me. Young John!